Turn to the book of Colossians, please. The book of Colossians. Most of you can look up your number in the table of contents, but if you're searching through, find Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Those little four little books right there together. Book of Colossians, chapter 4. And if you go to verse 7, I want you to notice the names as we go through here. Colossians chapter 4, picking up in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. Me is Paul. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and faithful servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, which is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus sends greetings. He's also wrestling in prayer for you, that he may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her home. After this letter has been read to you, see that it's also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Did you notice the names? Teamwork. It takes teamwork to get some things done, doesn't it? You can be the greatest basketball player on the planet who ever lived. You can choose whoever you want, name. If he's the only one on the team will lose because nobody can pass the ball in bounds. Ball's out of bounds. You got to pass it into somebody. Nobody there. And even if there's only two, the chances of them being very successful is not good if the other team has five good players. You got to have a team. You got to have all five players. If you're playing football, it's the same way, or any sport. If you have a band, I don't know how great a band sounds with all of its instruments, but I know if you only got a flute, you only got a trumpet, or you only got a trombone, or you only got whatever all the other instruments are called, if you only got one, or maybe just a couple, it doesn't sound the same. You need a team. No matter what you're doing in life, it's pretty much a teamwork effort. With a married couple, isn't it a lot better at the house? Especially in this day and age where both parents are thoroughly involved either in jobs or doing something like homeschooling or whatever it may be. Isn't it great when both parents come home and they pitch in and they work together? No? Yeah, I can see a few heads nodding. I think it's much better. I got frustrated the other day. I sat there and look, and there was a load in the dryer and a load in the washer, and the washer was done. And I just walked in. And I'm thinking, why can't she have already transferred that over? So I looked in the dryer, and there was a load in there. I said, why couldn't she have already had that folded up? Yeah. Right. Now, she'd been working all day long. She's getting ready for VBS that night. Now, it's just a husband thought for a moment, okay? Don't sit there and get a Cupid doll and start sticking pins in it or whatever. Just a thought for a moment. And I said, no, she's got a lot going on. Let's fold up the laundry, and let's make sure it's put up, and then let's get the other load in the dryer and get it going. So, isn't it better pitching in? I don't cook in our house. If it can't be microwaved, if it can't be just thrown on a piece of bread right out of the refrigerator, I don't cook. I just never took time to learn. So, I know the day's coming when I may have to, but I appreciate the fact that she cooks meals and does a great job with it. There's a lot going on. Couples working together. With the children, it's the same way, isn't it? Some of you got a nice routine with your children or your grandchildren. You come in a certain time. You have maybe story time, or you have on the knee time. You're watching TV time, or you're outside doing something while while one's doing something with one, one's doing something with the other. It's a team effort. So I know there's times when a teammate will let another person down. Am I right? Okay, there's time it's going to happen. But they're not intending to do it all the time. So cut everybody a break. You don't know what they've been through that day. But we need teamwork. We need an effort. You see here that Paul had a lot of people supporting him. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, what is that often called? What is that? Those three verses often called? I hear somebody whispering it. The Great Commission. It is the Great Commission. Why is it called the Great Commission? There is no commission that's ever been better. It's the greatest of all commissions. What is the commission? We are to make disciples for the Master, and we do that by teaching them about Jesus, and then after they be baptized, we then teach them to obey all that He's commanded. So our job is to make disciples. The disciples were told to go forth and do this. Now notice this. Jesus did not tell His disciples, just kick back, put your feet up, I got a bunch of angels that can handle this matter. He didn't do that. He didn't say, no, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Everywhere you go, I'm just going to roll back the sky, and I'm just going to appear, and then tell people, and then you just baptize them. He put it on who? He put it on the disciples, and 2,000 years later, who's His disciples? It's on us. It's our job to make disciples for the Master. It's a team effort. How many of you can win all 8 billion people on the planet by yourself? Even if you talk to one person a day, you'll run out of time before you can get to all of them. So it's going to take a team effort. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, what happened was Stephen has just been stoned to death. And the church, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, persecution broke out. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it tells us that the disciples were spread everywhere. And as they went everywhere, what did they do? According to Acts chapter 8, verse 4. They preached the word. Now, it doesn't say only the preachers preached the word. It didn't say only the apostles preached the word. It said as they went everywhere, they all preached the word. Now, most of them didn't know everything, but what they did know, they told. So they went everywhere preaching the word. A teamwork effort was taking place. It wasn't just for the apostles to do. It was for all disciples, all time. Now, we all know somebody that's joined the team of disciples, whether it be here at South Mills or some other congregation. We all know people who joined, and the participation on their part, for some reason, is minimal. They either haven't got enough exposure yet with a congregation, or for some reason, they just are timid, but they just don't tell anybody about Jesus. They don't invite anybody to anything. They just go through the motions. That's not very helpful in the long run. At the same time, we've got to be patient with everybody. Not everybody's reached the point in life, Christian walk, that you're at right now. So remember the old saying, before we put somebody down, make sure you put on their shoes, find out what kind of walk they're doing. I'm drying out for some reason. Too much hot air. I heard that. Got my exercise in for the day. All right. We need to make disciples. That's a team effort. Now, just to show you, turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Romans 11, verse 13. Here Paul's writing. And he says, I'm talking to you Gentiles. He's addressing the church at Rome, which is primarily Gentiles. He says, I'm talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry, and he continues on. Paul, the others were all right there in Jerusalem, the 12 that were selected. They immediately started preaching, but their primary audience was Jews. Peter broke the mold when he spoke to Cornelius and his household. He broke that mold that they were in and started reaching out to the Gentiles. But it was Paul that God selected. God says, I need somebody who's well-trained, well-versed, who can interact with Gentiles and go forth and share the faith. So he selected Paul. And Paul went out and began to do the job. He says, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, he didn't say, I'm the only ambassador to the Gentiles. I'm the only one allowed to talk to him, did he? Yeah. My job is to make sure that the apostleship, the word gets out. But I'm going to need help in this matter. So you see here in Colossians, how many people did he have helping him? Well, I wrote down Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Epaphras, Luke, Demas, Nymphia, and Archippus, just as a few. A whole bunch of people pitching in, working together to see that the effort gets done. A teamwork effort. I am not an expert on horses, and especially those that you hitch up to a wagon or some kind of load. But this is what I've been told, and you can correct me afterwards if you want, or you can holler it out here if you want. But anyway, I've been told that one horse can pull us up to a certain amount, and then it's just too much. Another horse can do basically the same thing. But if you hook the two horses together in a team, they can pull much more weight than each of them can individually, and more than the combined weight if you just do it separately. They can get more done. And I think it's the same way in the church. I think it's the same way. If you get one teaching here, and they're all teaching and getting things done, you get more accomplished. It's a multiplication type effect. In Colossians here, you see the names that are mentioned. Paul was able to get a lot more done because someone's helping out over here, someone's helping out over here, someone's doing this over here, someone's ministering here. And the combined effort is getting a lot done. The combined effort. They're feeding off of each other. So, teamwork is critical to getting a major task done. Any task done, but a major task especially. So with that in mind, you saw some of the pictures from VBS 2022. You notice that there were a lot of kids here. It was a noisy bunch. I did not get the count for the last Friday night, but we averaged in the 70s. There was in the 70s the first four nights. I don't know what the final night came out to be. But there were 70-some kids every night. And there were 40 adults pitching in somewhere helping. That's tremendous. You know, that's a lot of people, a lot of noise, and a lot happening. So we're certainly going to celebrate. We minister to a lot of kids. Each kid, I'm not supposed to call them kids, they're not goats, Carol, right? All right. Each child, and whatever else they're called, they came in here for the opening, they had a wild time with the songs. Kids love to enjoy songs, and you saw some of that there. But you ought to see the many of them up here just having a grand old time singing about Jesus, singing the songs. After the opening, which they had a nice skit, Emily Bronson did a wonderful job every night with the skit, and they had the songs, and I gave a little bit of a mission talk, except for one night when I couldn't be here, Kim Jones pitched in. Our goal with the offering was, we said, if they get to $400, the assistant director, which was Kim Jones, would get a pie in the face. Now, we're going to make sure the pies are prepared by somebody other than Betty McLeod. Okay. Betty McLeod is it sadistic? Yeah. She's a little sadistic about making pies. And last year, you could not recognize whatever that mess was, but it took a while to get cleaned out. But anyway, Kim's going to get one at $400. $500, Angela Gregory has volunteered to take a pie in the face. And I told them if they got to $600, they could do that to me. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we hit $400 on Wednesday. We reached over $600 on Thursday night. So we said to them, okay, you've hit your goals. If you hit $1,000, then you can do. We'll double up on the pies. Well, just that's when Angela, I think, burst out first, and then Kim may have burst out second. But anyway, we'll all take two pies, and we'll add Roy to the equation. So our youth minister is going to get one as well. So we said, if we get that, what are the chances of that? Well, they went over 1,000, and right now it's at 1,490-something. Somebody said they're going to throw a few extra pennies or dollars in. Anyway, we're going to send 1,500. Now, the kids got excited about who they're giving the offering to. We're giving it to North Burma Christian Mission, DEAF, which is DEAF. This is primarily Dwayne and Jackie Lee Brandt and their children over the years that got this mission started. And what they do is they use the local people, they train them as evangelists, they train them, but they're ministering almost entirely to deaf people. Now, in our culture, if somebody can't hear, we try to have all kinds of technology and things to help them all out. In that culture, if your child is born deaf, especially in Thailand, your child is born deaf, it's a waste of a human being. That's their attitude. Just giving them food isn't worth it. They'll feed them, but it just isn't worth it. The child just sits in the corner and nothing. That's sort of how they feel about it. The child had been better off being born dead. So people like Duane and others, what they're trying to do with the local people is to teach the deaf people how to do transactions, how to get a job, train them on skills, teach them about Jesus, teach them how they worship. Now, how hard a job is it? Duane Liebrandt has had to learn 4 different sign languages. You know, I've had to learn at least two different languages. I learned the regular English up in Delaware, and then I've had to learn the southern dialect down here. It's funny, people talk to me back up in Delaware, said, "You never said y'all when you're up here so much." You know, so anyway, but he's learned to learn 4. Different parts of the world, they have a different sign for a book, might be a different sign for this one language or another. He's had to learn 4. He's visited 13 different countries trying to help out in any way he can. He's made videos so that the deaf can be learning. It's not up to him to do it. He's trying to get everybody to do it. So he's employed some people. One is this technician over here. One's a technician over there. One's handling this affair. One's doing that. But he's doing his best to help a person. I mean, it tears me up. I always tear up once during a sermon anymore, so. But it just rips my heart to know that somebody didn't care about this individual, but Duane Liebrandt came into their life either directly in his own way or through somebody else. And this person is now a child of the King. And this person can make a living. This person can have as normal life as we would call normal could be. So the kids got excited behind it, and they gave some money to it. And I think it's tremendous what they did. We had a lot of help all week long. We went into VBS a little bit of trepidation because people were not signing up to take on every task like we thought they would. So we went right down to the wire. Even that Sunday morning of VBS's kickoff, we weren't sure what was going to happen. But people stepped up, and during the week, visitors came in and pitched in and helped wherever they could. One lady on the first day, she says, "Can I help anywhere?" She got hooked up real quick and was placed in one as an assistant teacher in one class. Another lady said, "I wanted to do something," and she ended up assigned where she could. People were welcome to fit in. Sometimes you drop the communication ball, but still, they could jump in and pitch in wherever they wanted. It was fun to watch all the crafts taking place. People helping these little kids to glue this on. You know it's a craft that's going to go home, and this time next year they can't find it. You know that. Okay? You know that. But for that moment in time, that child, that's a valuable thing to them. And having people help them to do that is tremendous. We had the older ones would get up here and help these kids learn the songs of the church and things like that. I appreciated all the help. Hersey Barber would come out 2 hours ahead of time before the church started. He'd go around the whole building, make sure all the trash cans were dumped, make sure they're out to the back so that Bill Gregory and others could pick them up and haul that off. Is that an important thing? You know how many bags of trash we had this week? Bill probably can tell you. Okay. Somebody's got to do this. Somebody has to come in and make sure the air conditioner is on. You just can't walk in here at 6:30 or 6 o'clock and kick the air conditioner on. It will take all night long to warm up. Cool up. It doesn't take long to warm up. So somebody comes in and gets the air conditioner. They start working it down a little bit every day. Jim's not going to want to be recognized, but there was a concern about the ice machine. Jim came out here and worked on it, and he left us satisfied that we would have enough ice all week long to get through. You know, just knowing that it eases your mind. There was a lot of things like that took place. I can't commend the team enough. I feel good about what was done this week. I feel really good about kids that were ministered to. Life experiences were made. How many of you remember your childhood VBSs? Okay. A lot of you remember them. I still got two crafts that were done from VBS. One was a mold that was made of a girl, little girl praying, and they made the mold, and I still got it because Mom kept it. When Mom passed away, I got it from her room. And the other one's was very, very sentimental to me as well. So I got those. I can't remember the craft teachers, but man, every time I see them, I think about VBS and Jesus. How much does it mean for you to pitch in and help people? How much do you think it really impacts everybody? I've tried to give you an idea. Not everybody that visits with us lets you know how you're doing. But I got this card Friday night. Preacher Ron, I want to thank you for welcoming our family with open arms this week. This was my boys, and she had four of them. This is my boys' first time experiencing Vacation Bible School. And it has just been the most rewarding experience for the boys. And it has been so very heartwarming to watch their excitement to come each night. Your dedication and love for the church and family shines. And we couldn't be more thankful to have crossed paths this summer. Thank you for everything. And they signed. Did we do anything? Are we a team? I thank everybody for what you did. I really don't have the right to thank you because you did it unto who? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. That's who you did it to. Some people sent me text messages throughout the week, Facebook messages, we're praying for VBS. We're praying for VBS. Can't be there, but we're praying. At least they're thinking of it. It's a team effort. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. I wanted to share that with you today. Normally this Sunday of VBS closing, we talk about the kids and what they accomplished, and you saw some of it. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ. For the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus as a believer. I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.